Hi, my name is Daniel Wee, and as Senior Pastor of Church of the Savior, I'd like to invite you to join me now in listening and learning from God's Word.
Great. So, it's good to be back in Coos. I was having the privilege to even lead a team at Orchard, and this is apparently a picture of me speaking at a Redeem conference at my own church. And I was actually in Blades, lah. I'm actually wearing Blades, and I'm actually having a full-time job. And how many of us believe that we are full-time for Christ? Yeah, amen, amen. Can I have to up the mic volume a bit? Yeah, thanks. So this is the stuff that I do. I actually Blade at Bishan Park, and I share the love of Christ. And these are some youth that has come alongside with me. Can I have a show of hands? How many of you are Bladers here? That's great. It's 1, 2, 3, 4. Do we have Bladers here? Bladers? Great. Yeah. So, I'll look for you after the service, okay? After the service, don't go off. Look for me, alright? And I also bring a team, and we just swim. We swam the whole of Orchard area with the love of Christ. And, I believe that, the message of the gospel should be out there. We should obey the Great Commission and starting right here in Singapore. So we have teams from Orchard area, Somerset, and this is my senior pastor, Pastor Kelvin Lee from Grace Assembly, who is also joining in the outreach in 1 to 10. And I've written a book as well. Some of you have got the book when I was sharing at Coos some months ago. It's a message of being a blader, and I'm carrying the message of the cross, and I'm reaching out to those who are perishing, who are drowning, struggling in their sins, and I'm bringing the message of hope to them. So it's like it's a beautiful picture of a rescuer, right? We are rescued to be a rescuer. And this book has everything. It contains all the stuff that I teach to equip people how to reach out, the tools, the analogies, the stories, and you can have it out there. It's just $10 per copy. And I'm someone that can't finish reading a book. So for me to write a book is a tremendous miracle. It's a tremendous miracle. So after Tong Ling Bible School, 2 months later, the Holy Spirit inspired me to write, and I finished it in the middle of my work as well. And from then on, the book was launched, and 1,000 was sold, and now is the end of the next 2,000. So it has QR codes for young people like you. Okay, you scan the QR codes, the videos go straight to your phone. Okay, so it's really easy, and I encourage you to get a copy lah, while stocks are still available. And this is stuff that I do, right? I actually do equipping. And after this, I do a multiplication program where I teach and I equip lay people to bring the rest on board to reach out. So that's the other stuff that I do. And once a month, I would gather people to come and seek the Lord. Prayer is very much on my heartbeat. And once a month as well, I'll bring people and we're out there reaching out. We are bringing the message of the gospel out there in the streets. So that's the stuff that I do, and I praise God that He has enabled me, in spite of my full-time job, to be able to continue this with tremendous passion, tremendous conviction. Amen for that. Alright, and this is some details. My handphone number is there. You're free to WhatsApp me, and I'll give you the information. And the next outreach will be on the 20th of December, Tuesday, 6 p.m. Alright, for those of you who are not overseas, right, not going for the four countries, right? You are free to join me, alright? There's a sign up sheet later. I think one of the youths is going to bring the books out. Yeah, do sign up for it. And, $10 per copy. It's what I have. If you don't get it today, it's going to be $20. Because from Armour, you get a third party, the prices will go up. So this is a good opportunity to get the books at a low price. And okay, so enough of the advertisement. So this evening, yeah, and actually very privileged lah for Pastor Tina to invite me to come and preach in the youth service. And this is a message that has actually been resonating in my heart for many months. And I believe that these four keys to kingdom living is going to make a tremendous impact in your life. It has impacted me so much when I was a Christian. And it's going to be something very simple from Matthew chapter 3. We're going to uncover the baptism of Jesus. Are you ready to receive the word? Right, that's great. So this is the verse that I'm going to actually start off. Right, if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 to 17. If you don't have it, anyways, on the screen as well. And I'm going to start reading it, alright? Okay, then Jesus came from Galilee to the to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. Right? As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Right? With him I am well pleased. All right? This is a simple, very simple passage from the New Testament about the baptism of Jesus. Right? I'm going to uncover this session. I'm going to uncover in four keys. And these keys will transform your life if you're able to understand what the Word of God is speaking. All right? So the first P, okay, the four P's. Jesus' baptism is public. Jesus' baptism is public, right? So, I want you to look at the screen, okay? I mean, I'm just pointing to the screen, right? So, the word then, okay? Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. You see, so the word then is it's a very important word. You know, so why is the word then there for? No? Have you ever asked yourself this question? Why is the then for? What was Jesus doing even before he even started his ministry? What was he? You know, he was just like, he was a nobody, he was a carpenter, right? And before that, he was right in heaven, you know, with the Father. And he came down, 30 years obscurity, and he just lived a simple life. And then, right? And then Jesus came, right? That's the context of the verse, right? Then Jesus came. It's like official arrival. It's like a public appearance. Right to everyone and say, ta-da, this is where I come now. No? It's a full view of the world, right? Right. So, in fact, John actually prophesies. He prophesies his coming, saying that there is he who has spoken through the word Isaiah, right from Matthew 3, like, even before this chapter, he's saying, a voice of the one calling in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight path for him. He's really telling people, the Messiah is coming, prepare your way, repent, and come back, for the kingdom is coming. So he's telling people, hey, you know what? The Messiah is already coming, and then Jesus came. You see, and then Jesus came. That's the important part. So what can we learn from this important lesson? What can we learn, all right? The first point, how many of you know Hollywood stars like Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie, right? You know the stuff, right? And you know what's happened to them, right? Going through a divorce and it's like the moment you walk on the red carpet, okay? You walk on the red carpet, your fame is there. Everybody is going to check you out. Everybody is going to find out. What are you doing? How's your marriage like? What's your personal life? Everything. Every single detail is going to be scrutinized on you. Correct? So that's what's happening right at the front stage, The moment you come to a public scene, you are going to be checked out. Your life is going to be scrutinized. Exactly what's happening in the Hollywood stars is the same thing that Jesus went through. All right? The moment he stepped forward, Jesus knew the cause. You see, he knew the cause. When he made his public appearance forward, there's going to be intense scrutiny by Pharisees. Read the Gospels, right? The moment they, every time when he comes and teach, there'll be people coming to test him, Hey, Rabbi, is this woman that is committing adultery, shall we stone her? Correct? Rabbi, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Right? These are things that he get tested, on. And then you got watchful eyes and you got people have strong opinions and they're just waiting to pull him down. Right? Do we agree on this? Right? So Jesus knew the cause, you see. He knew the cause, but yet he obediently stepped out. He stepped out from his comfort zone so that people know that he is real. People know that he is real from a high-risk position to a public figure in order to accomplish the Father's figure in the full view of the world. Can you imagine this, Can you imagine if Jesus, right, came in secret, Came in secret and then nobody knew he arrived and then suddenly he just crucified in secret, Do you think it makes sense, Then you tell the world that Jesus is alive. Huh? Where is Jesus, Are you sure he crucified? Is he in secret? No. You see, it cannot be possible. Jesus has to become public. He has to appear public. Everybody can see and everybody knew that he was crucified and everybody knew that he rose from the dead. So that's the first point. Public. Jesus' baptism is public. And then, here comes the application question. What about you? What about you? Are you willing to step out from your comfort zone? You see, the moment you step out and you tell people you're a Christian, right? Everybody starts to check on you, you know. Hey, why are you Christian? Why do you say something wrong? Why do you steal? Why do you do all these bad things? You're a Christian, you know. Your life gets scrutinized. You get checked. You get, it's like the focus, the spotlight is on you, you know. Like this, the spotlight is on you, right? But yet, we are called to be salt and light. We are called to be the salt of the world, salt and the light of the world. But is it just by words? Are you saying that you're a Christian just for the sake of saying you're a Christian? Or are you really living your life out? Are you really desiring to be public? Are you public in your faith? That is my question to you. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Right? When I was at Coast, I was speaking to some youths, or we were doing this flashlight thingy, right? I think, I don't know whether some of you remember, no? I was asking all of them to off the lights, and I was taking my phone, I was flashing, because in darkness, that's where your light is supposed to shine. You are sent in the place where you are studying, you are sent in the place where you are working for the reason of lighting up the darkness. You are supposed to be public so that people can come to know. People can come to know Jesus through your faith. Question is, are you public? Are you public in your faith? Are you willing to step out from the comfort zone? That's my question. First point, public. Right? Are we okay on this? Right? This is like super important, right? In fact, if you are a Christian, you are supposed to be public in your faith. You are supposed to be the light. You're supposed to be the salt. You're supposed to draw people to Christ. You're supposed to be in the area of darkness so that your light can shine, so that many more lights can shine. If not, what is your purpose? What is the point? What's the point of being a Christian, right? Next point, all right? Second point, Jesus' baptism is purposeful. Jesus' baptism is purposeful, right? You know, we come to the next verse, right? So verse 14, okay? But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Wow, this is extremely perplexing for John. John the Baptist is saying that, you know what? You are the Messiah. You are the Son of God. You are like everything, you know. You are like the King of Kings, and then you want me to baptize you. It doesn't make sense, you know. I can't even untie your feet. I can't even touch the thongs of your, you know. I can't even touch your slippers. So I'm not worthy of it. And yet you want me to be baptized, you know. So this is John's tremendous struggle. It's like, you know, how can I possibly baptize you? I'm just a nobody, you know. Right? Do you have this question, you know, when you're going through this verse? I'm sure many of you will start to think, you know, how can John possibly baptize Jesus, right? Right? The baptism of water, okay, is a confession of sin, right? I don't know whether my slides are up, okay. It's a confession of sin and repentance. The reason why you're baptized, right, okay, you're telling people in a public manner, you're saying that, you know what, I'm actually dying to my old self and I'm going to arise to my new self. Alright, we're gonna arise to the new self, rising up to that spiritual life, right? Over here, like you can see, it's like a ceremony, right? A public ceremony. They tell people that, you know what? My old life is gone, you know, the old self is crucified, now the new self is coming up. Because all my sinful nature in the past is all, you know, Lord, I want to be separated away from it, you know? And this new life will emerge. Correct? Right? How many of you have been baptized, water baptized? How many of you? Yeah, I'm sure you know what I mean. You went in, submerged, and come up again, right? But the question is that Jesus, you see, Jesus, right? He's actually sinless. He's sinless. He has no sin, right? In Hebrews 4, he says that he was tempted every way, just as we are, and yet he was without sin. He was without sin. There is no need for him to be baptized at all. He doesn't need. He's sinless. Why should he be baptized? Why? John was saying, you know, why? He's scratching his head, you know? So he couldn't really understand. There is no need for him to be baptized. He's sinless. Right, and then that's where the verse 15 comes in. Jesus told him, let it be now. Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Right? To fulfill all righteousness. And then John consented. He's like, wow, okay, you know what? Jesus, you know, you are the Lord, you are the King, okay. Whatever you say, whatever you do, okay, it stands. I'll just baptize you, you know, I'll just do it. Right? And Jesus knew, okay, there was a purpose behind it. There is a purpose behind it. Alright, so he allowed baptism, right, he allowed this thing to happen, right, to purposefully fulfill the Father's plan, you know. It's like a perfect example, right, of a complete obedience to God's will. Even if it doesn't make sense, right, extra emphasis from me, even if it doesn't make sense. And his level of obedience is amazing. You know, in Philippians 2, he even made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. He emptied himself, right in scriptures, right? He said he humbled himself, he became obedient to death, even death at the cross. Wow, that is tremendous. Death at the cross, even when there's pain, he's still fully obedient. Wow, that is it is huge on me when I think about it. You know, wow, his obedience is really all the way. You know, all the way. Someone actually told me that 99% obedience is not considered obedience at all. Right? It's either 100% obedience or not at all. Right? So this is the perfect life that Jesus has displayed, fully, fully purposeful. Question. What is God's purpose for your life then? What is God's purpose for your life? Are you willing to be fully obedient to it, even if it doesn't make sense? That's the point. Even if it doesn't make sense, are you still willing to be obedient to it? No, if God is speaking to you, something in your heart to do something, to start something, to speak to someone, to just let something go, it doesn't make sense, but are you still willing to be obedient to it? Wow, that is the question that I'm asking you. That is a very important question. Right? When we look at the life of Abraham, right? When God told him, go and sacrifice your son Isaac, your one and only son, you know, wow, you know, it doesn't make sense, you know, God, it doesn't make sense. You know, you told me I'm going to be a nation through this son and you want me to sacrifice this son. It doesn't make sense, you see? Right? But yet, Abraham, you see, oh, fully obedient, all the way up to the mountain, and the moment when he was about to slaughter the child, right? Slaughter the child. Then the angel of the Lord says, do not touch the boy. Okay? Do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything. Now then I know. It's like, wow. Only when there's an action that is added to it, when there's a component that is referring to your faith in action, you see. James chapter 2 talks about faith and deeds, right? You have faith and so on, you know, but your faith accompanied by deeds, that is full obedience. So only when God saw Abraham taking the action, desiring to slaughter, and then fully obedient, then he says, okay, now I see your faith. Yes, I know that you are really obedient. So you can plan about it. You can think about it. But my brothers and sisters here, I'm saying, go forth and do it. Go forth and do it. Don't just talk about it. Don't just imagine about it. Don't just have a cell group session about it. Do it. Go forth. Do it. Go forth and do it. All right? I'd like to illustrate my own testimony, my own example, okay, when I was a few years ago, let me see, I can't remember when, I think 3 or 4 years ago, yeah, I was having this lunch after service, you know, just reading a simple book by Francis Chan. I was at a restaurant, I remember it was a Japanese restaurant, specific Japanese restaurant, alright, and I was just reading a book, and I was just finding some time to just do some reading, and then when God spoke to my heart saying, you know what, Wallace, I want you to go and blade, right? I want you to go and blade. And I wanted to go and share the gospel. I was like, wow, freaked out, or totally freaked out, you know. Huh? Are you sure I heard correctly, you know? And then this thing just stays, it lingers in my heart, and it's like, wow, you know, I just have to do something about it, right? And so the moment I put on my blades, right? I mean, the time I was, I remember I was playing soccer, right? My left knee was injured, and I went through physiotherapy. I was a bit upset. I couldn't run. So I developed blading as an alternative exercise. Right, so from there I learned to blade, and then that's when God spoke to me, and then I was like, wow, you know, God, this is crazy. And so I just, never mind, obedience, just do it, you know. I pull my blades, and I was at Bishan Park. I remember I freaked out. I actually freaked out. Okay, I look at the person, you know. I imagine I pass through the first person. I was blading. I was about to take a track, about to speak. Then, I just siam, you know. And then afterwards, I see the person, I want to talk, and then, then I siam again. This thing went ding-dong the whole night. The whole night, and then I was like, okay, God, you know what, I don't know whether I hear correctly from you, you know. But you know what, I'm just going to do it, you know. So at the end of it, 9 p.m, I was like, going to call it a quits, and then there was this lady jogger that was somewhere beside me, you know. She was just like, finished her jogging, she was warming down. Then I was like, okay, lah, you know, nothing to lose, lah, you know, just try. Right, God, you told me to do it, I just try. So I took a track. I talked to this sister over here, and then when I started to share, like, I was just fumbling, I was stammering, and I was like, you know, do you want to believe, do you know who's God? You know, that kind of simple words, you know. And then she looked at me and she stared at me and saying that, do you know what is going through in my life now? Then I said, I don't know. Then she started to tell me, you know, she's empty, she's like looking for meaning and purpose. It's like, you know, then she started to cry, you know, in front of me. I was like, whoa, you know, shall we take a seat, you know? Whoa, you know, just take a seat. What? I didn't do anything, you know? and then she just sat down and she started to tell me all her stuff. And I'm like, what is going on? You know, then at the end of it, she told me, I said, do you want to accept Jesus? And she said, yes. I'm like, huh? I was shocked, you know. I was like, huh? Then, okay, let's pray. And I don't even know how to pray a sinner's prayer. I just asked her to say something simple. And then I was like, whoa. Then she just left. And the next day, I brought her to church as well. And that night, I was like, oh, God, you know, this is crazy, you know, God. Like that also can. Like that also can, you know. Then I said, okay, God, like that also can. Okay, let's do it. Let's do it now. Let's do it, you know. Doesn't make sense. Let's do it. And from that day onwards till now, I have been blading and lives has been touched. You know, for some of you that receive my updates, right, it's blading for purpose 100 already. 100 times I was there already. I'm just there 100 times, and every time I'm up there, it's always fresh testimonies and people's lives get changed. And just recently, last week, a Filipino lady called Marilyn came to know the Lord. She rededicated her life to Christ. And all this crazy stuff happening, all because I obeyed Him, even if it doesn't make sense. And then from then on, wow, He came. I was sharing all my broadcast stuff, and then people came alongside with me, and a team. Now I've got a team going to Orchard Road that's reaching out. And wow! And now I wrote a book as well, and churches are inviting me to come and speak. This is unheard of, you know. It's totally unheard of. It's totally by the grace of God. And it's only possible because I took that step out of faith, to determine the purpose of my life, being purposeful. So, just as an illustration, I'd like to add this story. It's about a story of a contact lens. Any of you wearing contact lens here? Do you have contact lens? Do you wear contact lens? Oh, so many. Wow. Contact lens. You know what's contact lens, right? Okay. So this simple story is an illustration point. One day there was this person. Okay, he went out to go mountain trekking. Went all the way to the top, right? Because, wow, you know, he wanted to see the beautiful sunrise, okay? Beautiful sunrise. And all the way, when he go all the way to the top, he realized that, hey, you know what, I'm so blur. He realized that his contact lens actually dropped. His contact lens actually dropped, you know. Then it's like, wow, right at the top of the mountain, he's like, oh my, this is not happening, you know. The most beautiful time when the sun is about to rise, and then he can't see anything because he dropped his contact lens. It's like, wow, how, Then, wow, desperate, wow, God, you know, pray, how, help me find contact lens. Then he pray, then, very sad, you know, then he just waited. After about 5 minutes, someone from the bottom of the mountain shouted at him, hey, hello, did anyone lost a contact lens? He's like, huh? Then the person at the top, wow, serious? Yeah, me. Then the person just come, here's a contact lens, you know. Then he was like, wow, he don't know. First thing he do, okay, you stay lying, watch it first, right? Then put on, enjoy the sunrise first, though. Wow, then sunrise, wow, thank God, no, you answer my prayer, everything, you know, blah, blah, blah. Wow, then at the end of sunrise, right, then he asked the person, no, hey, by the way, how do you find a contact lens, right? Good question, right? How do you find, right? You know, imagine you drop here, right? You can't even find it. So, you know? How do you find, So then it was like, that one, because I was like resting on the bottom of the mountain. I was resting, then just thinking about water break, Then suddenly I realized that there's something moving on the leaf, you know, like, ooh, something moving, you know. It's like, whoa, something's moving, you know. And then you know what? There was ants. You know, ants, you know? Ants was carrying a contact lens, you know. The ants was literally carrying a contact lens, and it was traveling, and that's how the contact lens was seen, you know. Right, because if the lens on movie, you cannot see, right? But someone, because it moved, right? Then he got, oh yeah, I got to see, you know? And that's how the person, you know, managed to find the contact lens. Amazing, Right? Amazing, you know? God actually commanded the ants to carry the contact lens, and somehow it was found, you know? Wow. And so, this is the picture that I have. Yeah, this picture, on the screen. So, if I were the ants, right, I said, oh God, you know, it doesn't make sense why you ask me to carry this contact lens, you know? It's heavy. I cannot eat it, you know, I can't even do anything, but Lord, if it's your will, I will do it, okay? So because the ants was faithful and obedient in doing what God has told, and as a result of it, the contact lens was found, right? Wow, simple story. Story of obedience, right? Because God has a helicopter view, right? Sometimes there's something that God has wanted you to do, but you may not understand it, but God has the bigger picture. God has the bigger picture. Go forth and do it. If you know it's from the Lord, go forth and do it, right? So we are God's handiwork, right? In another version, is a masterpiece, right? Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. This is from Ephesians 2:10. And if you read this from my book, it says that knowing God's purpose in your life is always a bull's eye, possessing true significance and meaning to your existence, right? wow, this is a tremendous verse, Ephesians 2:10. I hold tightly to me because I believe, according to scripture, that every one of you has a purpose. Turn to your neighbor and say that you have a purpose, you know. You have a purpose. Yeah, serious. You have a purpose that God has a purpose for you to do. Right? You're rescued to be a rescuer. There's a purpose that God has intended. In the streets, I like to use a phone. I like to use this phone as an illustration tool, right? Some of you attended my workshop, you know what I'm talking about, right? It's a handphone analogy that I use, right? Imagine if this is Pastor Tina, okay? I'm going to use an example, okay? Imagine if this is Pastor Tina. Pastor Tina is a phone, okay? Right? This is Pastor Tina. It's a phone, but she doesn't know she's a phone, right? She doesn't know it's a phone, okay? Can this phone be used to sweep a floor? Can? Wow, yes, you try lah, you know. Can, okay, but it's not effective, okay? You rather have a broom, correct? Right? Can this phone be used to hammer a nail? Wow, you learn so fast already, Wow, do you attend my equipping workshop, is it, okay? Right. So, yeah, this phone can hammer a nail, but the screen will crack. It's not meant for it, correct? Right? So you can ding-dong from one place to another place. You can go from one major to another major. You can go in this job, and it doesn't satisfy because you haven't found a place where God has placed you. All right. So what happens now when Pastor Tina makes the first phone call? She's a phone. How do you think she will feel? Right? Jackpot, right? You know, wow, bingo, jackpot, you know, choo-choo, hello, wow, shook, WhatsApp, all the thing, you know, all your Facebook, Snapchat, everything. It's like, this meant to be, you know, it's like, wow, finally Pastor Tina knows her purpose. Her purpose is to be a phone. And once she knew her purpose, she will not go back to sweeping floors again. She will not go back to hammering nails. She will stay as a phone because that's where God has optimally designed her with all the gifts and talents for her to be in that place. Amazing. Simple phone, simple illustration. Question is, do you know the purpose in your life? Do you know that purpose in your life? Do you know exactly what God has called you to do? Because the earlier you know your purpose, the greater your impact is. The greater is your satisfaction in life. Because you are right in the center where God wants you to be. Amazing, amazing. Right? It's like, how many of you can actually cook instant noodles? You know how to eat the instant noodles? You know how to eat, right? How do you eat it? How? Fork, chopstick, alright? You see? Chopstick is not meant to poke your eyes, scratch your back, no. It's meant for the purpose of eating the noodles. The same thing, you know, when God created this whole world. He created this whole world, he saw there was a need, a specific need. And then he created Pastor Tina for it. He created you for it. He created you for it. There was a specific need, right? According to scripture, Ephesians 2:10. And once you accomplish that work, it's amazing. The kingdom advances. Wow, very powerful. Question is, do you know your purpose, right? Right, we're coming to the third P, okay? The third P. Jesus' baptism is preparation. Jesus' baptism is preparation, right? Third P, preparation. At that moment, all right, we come to the scripture. At that moment, heaven was opened. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. So, wow, that is a beautiful picture. That is a most... I wish I was there, you know. I wish I was there, right there, to see the presence of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the beautiful triune God manifestation together. And in that beautiful scene, I wish I was there, and it was a direct fulfillment of Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, release of oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So now, you know the purpose of the baptism of Jesus. It is to tell people that, hey, it is a fulfillment of Isaiah 61. That right here, right at that moment, right, everybody should know He is the Messiah. Because scripture points to him, and that moment he fulfilled. That is why the baptism was actually purposeful, right? And yet, in accordance to preparation, the preparation of it is because right after Matthew chapter 4, right, the next chapter, right, he was led by the Spirit to the wilderness, right? He was led by the Spirit to the wilderness, and then from that day onwards, upon the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the ministry started. He was out there, he was healing people, he was delivering sermons, his ministry began a full-fledged right after he was baptized in the Spirit. And Jesus, fully man, fully God, experienced fatigue, hunger, sleepiness, he went through betrayal, he went through all the things that human can go through so he can understand exactly what you're experiencing. Right, and yet, this is the beautiful part, he depended on the Holy Spirit for his every work and ministry. Full dependence, you know. Wow! Full dependence on the Holy Spirit. The question is, right? Question, what are you empowered for? What are you empowered for? You're empowered by no action, you know, empowered to tell people that, oh, you know what, I can speak in tongues, you know, wow, that's great. So, is there a purpose for it? What are you empowered for? What is the purpose of receiving the Holy Spirit? What is the purpose? Let me tell you the answer. The purpose is for you to be empowered to witness. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Now, that is the purpose of your baptism. That is the power that's given to you to be a witness. You are empowered to serve Him. You're not empowered just for the sake of speaking in tongues and just, you know, telling people you can pray in tongues, you know, but you're empowered to receive it so that you can start serving Him. You can do things that is beyond the ordinary. You're empowered to serve our Lord Jesus. That is the most important reason. And that's the same empowerment that Jesus received, so that He's out there. He's out there. He cast off demons. He healed the sick. He resisted the devil. And is able to even be obedient fully to the cross. Amazing, you know. And that was a preparation. You see, that was a preparation that was needed so that the birth of the ministry can begin. Right? Wow, that's very powerful. Okay, we're coming to the fourth P, okay, which is the final sermon point. Final sermon point. Jesus' baptism is personal. It's personal. Right? This is the most important point. Okay? If you know of anyone that has fallen asleep in the past 3 points, right, please wake them up now, okay? Because this fourth point is the most important point. This fourth point is like the most important point. You've got to get this fourth point, alright? Personal, okay? Jesus' baptism is personal, okay? And then verse 17, and a voice from heaven saying, This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. You know, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. It's amazing. Wow. So God didn't say that this is the son, this is the man whom you love. With him you are well pleased. Not me, it's you. You know, this is your king, not my king. You know, this is your pastor, not my pastor. This is your teacher, not my teacher. You know, so when God spoke in that voice, He said that this is my son. Wow, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. You know, the word I is like, it's such a unique and a personal touch. You know, and we see in David, when he wrote in Psalm 23, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is mine. You know, it's like, it's not just a far figure. The Lord is near. It's my shepherd. You know, he makes me lie down. You know, he leads me in quiet waters. He restores my soul. And I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. So it's that personal touch, you know. It's that personal intimacy with the Lord. Wow, that to me is so powerful. It's so unique, right? And a unique identity as a child of God. You know, you got to know what your identity is. You got to know who you really are in Christ, right? John chapter 1 says that we are actually children of God. You know, once we believe, we are actually His. You know, we can call Him Abba Father. We call Him Abba Father. Amazing. Right? And here's the application point. Here's the thing that totally blows me away. You know, so in the previous slide, it's like, God was saying, you know, this is my son whom I love, right? With him, I am well pleased, you know. Wow, I am well pleased. And I asked the question, so what is he well pleased for what now? He's well pleased for what? He hasn't even done anything yet. Hasn't even started his ministry yet, you know. Hasn't even cast out demons, pray for the sick. He did nothing. No healing, no deliverance, no miracles. And yet God said, with him, I am well pleased, you know. Wow, I was like, this is total mind blower. Total mind blower, you know. And then I began to understand that because Jesus was fully secured in the Father's love, He was fully secured in the Father's love. And it's not even the ministry. It is not ministry that defines us. It is not performance that gives us the identity. It is our identity in Him alone. In Him alone. Wow. That is the most greatest lesson I've ever learned before I even start doing ministry. Right? So when Jesus was tempted, the devil said, turn these stones to bread, you know, to prove that you are the Son of God, right? And Jesus looked at him and said, I don't even need to prove it, right? I don't need to prove it. I have this beautiful relationship with my Father. My Father knows it already, right? I don't even need to prove it. And he says, you know, man does not live on every, he does not live on bread, right, but on every word that comes to the mouth of God, you know? So he rebukes the devil because he doesn't need to prove, right? It is not the ministry that defines us, okay? You are first a child of God and then you are a pastor. You are first a child of God and then you are a teacher. You are first a child of God and then you are a student. You are first a child of God, and then you are a lawyer, and then you are a doctor, and then you are a nurse, etc. You are first a child of God. You must get this right. If you don't get this right, if you base on your performance to define who you are going to fail terribly. You are going to fail terribly. You're not going to last long. Alright? I was in Tong Ling Bible School, I think last year. Yeah, I think last year I was there. Can't remember. Jenna and Bong Lu, I don't know, somewhere around here. We were in the same course. I can't remember where it is. I think it's last year, correct? Yeah. So, there was this module, called Father Heart of God. It's amazing. It's just amazing. There was this song that was sung, and they got the ministry team that were coming in, and we were all supposed to be prayed for. I remember the song, When Love Came Down, Brian Johnson. You know the song? You know the song? Right? Okay. When Love Came Down and Rescued Me. Yeah, I put the lyrics there in case I forget. Love came down and set me free. I am yours. I am forever yours. Right? Mountain high or valley low, I sing out, remind my soul, I am yours, I am forever yours, I am yours. So though the chorus came, it's like the word I am yours, I am forever yours. Wow. It hit me, it's like no matter what happens, I messed up, I may not say the right things, or I may not do as well, I am forever yours, God. It's like this beautiful father-son relationship, It's like so beautiful, and that changed everything. I remember I was in the room, and even before I was prayed for, I was weeping like a baby, I was crying, and the whole room was just chaos, just everybody was just on the floor, and they were crying, and I remember that was when God touched me, and that moment I was like taken back to this picture. It's like a father playing a little child, And I was just running around him. I was just like, oh God, no, it's all about you. I was just hugging him. I was just playing around him. And it's just suddenly I realized that the whole thing is all about the Father's love. It's all about the Father heart of God. And ministry is so small. It becomes so small. So small. And from what you receive from him, and then you go forth for your ministry. That's how it works. Right? The ministry doesn't define us. Doesn't define us. It is the Father's heart. To know the Father in a personal and deepest relationship. That is the greatest call. The greatest call, to be in this beautiful love relationship. And then when you realize, the difference between the orphan spirit and the spirit of sonship. Right? An orphan spirit is like, you're striving, a lot of striving. I go street, I must pray, I must make sure someone receive Christ, and then I'm okay, If not, something wrong with me. No. Got it wrong. It's not even the number of people that I've prayed for, not even the number of salvation. It's not that. It's all about the Father's heart. And from there, and when you receive the spirit of sonship, right, it's all about love, obedience, and I'm totally free. I talk to you, you don't reject me. Okay, it's okay. Next person. It doesn't matter. Right? In the end, I know where I'm going. I know my perspective. I know my positioning. I'm loved by him. And that's all that matters, I'm just taking this time to share. So it's not the outcome of the ministry that defines. It is who you are in him. It's who you really are in him. Wow, once you're approved by God, you're not intimidated by criticisms. Why? Because this ministry is his. It's not even yours. It's his. You criticize him, right? Not me, right? And yet, when you know that you're also not intoxicated by praises, I'm out there reaching out. When I send my reports, people keep clapping, wow, praise God. To me, it's like, no, it's not me, it's him. I mean, it's not about me, it's him. Yeah, praise God. Correct, praise God. Yeah, not me. Praise him. Yeah. So, this changed everything in me. And this is the most important point that I want to share with you tonight when I'm given the opportunity to share this personal God. Wow, it's beautiful. And this table, it's just comprehensive. I wouldn't have time to go through. But if you look at it, it's not about striving. There's like motivation. Some in the orphan spirit, you can strive for personal achievement. You can strive for it. But yet, when the spirit of sonship, right, you're motivated by deep gratitude of being unconditionally loved by God. And it just goes on and on. It's about shifting from that fighting all the way to realizing it and receiving it. Yeah, wow. Powerful. That is the most important lesson that I've learned in Bible school. And that changes everything. And once I learn this lesson well, that's how my ministry spearheaded. Yeah. Because if not, you cannot last long. You cannot last long. Alright, so this is the next question. Okay, the last, I'll call it the challenge question. Okay, do you have a personal relationship? Do you have a personal... Okay, how many of you here knows Lee Kuan Yew? Wow, that's great. Okay, now the question is, does Lee Kuan Yew know you? Don't know, right? You claim to know about God. I actually know Jesus, but you don't really know Him. You don't really know the intimate knowing. You don't really know Him, you know. You claim you know about God, you know about the doctrine, you know this, that, but you don't really know Him as a person. My challenge to you is that find, know Him. When you realize who you are in Christ, you discover your true identity. Everything in you changes, starting from the inside out. Wow, this is powerful. This is powerful. It's powerful. So it's like Paul in Philippians 3. He's, you know, this powerful apostle. He has everything, you know. He has like Pharisee of the Pharisees. His zeal. He can persecute the church, you know, for legalistic reason. He's like a CEO, you know, at the time. CEO, very powerful CEO. And yet at that point, he says, what is more? I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, my Lord. Wow. For whose sake I've lost it, consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him. I want to know Christ. I want to know Him. I want to know Him. To know the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His suffering. Wow. This is a powerful statement by Paul. And everything that we do is the purpose of knowing Him. The purpose of knowing Him. Wow. And if you go on mission trips, right? Yeah, it's great. You know, youths are going for mission trips. I'm extremely encouraged. But in the process of serving, you will also know Him. You will know His heartbeat. You will know His heartbeat for the people. You will know the way He moves, the way He acts, and partner with Him. Wow. And YM have this beautiful verse that says, know Him and to make Him known. And that's our journey. That's our journey. For the moment you receive Christ, it's all about knowing Him. It's all about knowing Him, to know Him and know Him and then making Him known because you have known Him. Right? And if you lose your popularity, you may lose your job, you may lose your family. Some people that came to Christ and they lost everything, wow, but yet they found Christ. And knowing Him is the most priceless thing. It's the most priceless thing. Wow. Psalms 91, you know, He's a refuge and fortress. I can tell you scores and scores of testimonies at my workplace. Well, when people were against me, you know, when they're like, you know, targeting against me for certain things that I didn't even do, and then God says, you know, I prepare a table before in the presence of your enemies. Wow. And all I got to do is just sit. Sit and wait for Him to deliver me. And true enough, 11 years in the workforce, 11 years, I'm still here. I'm still standing. Wow. God is amazing. Amazing. And each day, each learning moment brings me closer to Him. To know Him and to make Him known. Wow. But now, the scary verse, Matthew 7. It's scary, you know. It's like, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter His kingdom. Lord, didn't we prophesy in Your name? Didn't we cast out demons? Didn't we perform any miracles? No, Lord, you sure You know me, alright? Then God, you know, this Jesus saying, you know, Matthew 7, you know, Sermon on the Mount, says, I tell you, away from me, you evildoers, I never knew you. Wow! This was scary to me, you know, wow! How can even God don't even know me, you know, when I do all these miracles? See, He doesn't need you to prove that you can do miracles, you can do all kinds of things. He just wants you. He just wants you. Ministry is secondary, and the primary call is to know Him, is to really know Him. Right? Question, do you really know Jesus? Do you desire an intimate personal relationship with Him? Are you seeking after Him? This is the most important question that I'll be asking you. Because you can go on this Christian life, you know, and you can go on, you can play Christianity. You can do this religious game. You can come to church. You can come to the front. And you can jump as high as you want. And you can do this religious game over and over again. And once you leave the church, you're back to square one. No point. No point. If you are really keen on getting real, you get real before Him and say, God, I'm sick and tired of this Christianity of just coming and just playing church. I want to know You. I really want to know You. Yes. If that is your heartbeat, we will be spending time to pray for you later. Right? And one thing that I ask from the Lord, David, Psalms 27, the one thing that I seek is to dwell in the house of the Lord. All the days of my life, you know, imagine this is the king that has everything, but yet he chose to dwell in His temple, because the presence of God is fullness of joy. In the presence of God is fullness of joy. You can find joy in every single thing, in your holidays, in your money, in whatever is temporal joy. It doesn't last. Only the presence of God can give you the real fullness of joy. Wow. Powerful. This is powerful. Right? So, to end up even to illustrate the 4 points in my life, right? To show that it's not just me preaching, I'm not just preaching about it, I'm actually living out these 4 points. Okay, I'm one public, okay? I'm a super public, you know, this everybody knows I'm a Christian, alright? And every time I'm out there, I broadcast, some youth leaders as we got it, I wrote a book as well, and I receive invitations to speak at churches, I launched a book, and so this is how public I am. I'm public out there, people know I'm a Christian, and so be it, and I'm reaching out to them. Right, this is how public I am, and these are scores of testimonies, or scores and scores of outreach testimonies. It's all there. It's all there, which I don't have time to explain. All 15 November. This was the last 3E. All right, last 3E. Public. We're going out there to touch the lives of people. Some familiar faces. Gracia? Where are you? Where are you? Oh, there she is. Yeah, talk to her. This her. That's really her. That's her. Not me. Okay? It's her. That's her. Okay. All right, and you've got. The team from KUS, right? Is it somewhere here? Where is it? Is it here? Yeah, I think it's here, correct? There, Warren is. Is it Warren? Is it Warren, right? Yeah, Waylin is here. Right? Waylin, all the people from KUS. All right, it's all there. It's all there. We're reaching out, and this is in October, right? We're just stepping down in October, and it's just amazing, you know, the power of unity. You know, when different churches come together for the sole reason of reaching out, wow, it's beautiful. The John 17 prayer is answered, you know, beautiful. And you can ask those who went with me. They all have their own testimonies. It is amazing, amazing time of reaching out. September, right? This is Gracia again, Zichi, Chinese side. Samuel, I wonder if Samuel here or not. Is Samuel here? Or is he mission trip or somewhere? Okay, yeah. It's beautiful. Even youths are coming alongside, all right? Youths from His Arrows Church, they all came in August. And, another familiar face. Right? Where is Gloria? Where are you? Okay, I don't know where you are. Okay, hey, you're there. All right, so this is her. We were talking to this China lady who got saved and then getting her encouraged and reaching out to youths as well. So it's all there. It's all there. And in June as well, got more people from KUS, right, all the way on that side, Chinese side, all joining me as well. Stephanie also, I believe, right, had a vision of a hand, right, she can tell you more. And it's amazing, you know, how many of you are 17 years and below? All of you, right, you know, confirm, I see, even a 70-year-old guy can also come and reach out, I want more you, okay? All you need to do is to be able to walk, that's all, you just need to walk, alright? And so purposeful, all right? So I'll share with you my testimony because of my obedience in just answering that call, even though it doesn't make sense, right? From there on, wow, boom, everything was launched. And the vision was, it came to me. This is Bishan, this is Orchard, right? You know, the souls of men are all mine for His glory, okay? Don't fight with me, okay? Souls of men are all mine. You can take the rest of it. The rest are your spots, all right? KUS, Queenstown area is yours. Go and take it, all right? Go and take it. It's all yours, okay? It's like putting a flag post there, you know, like this is my territory, and you know, I'm going to claim back all the territories for Jesus, you know, until Singapore can Singapore be safe? Can? Do it now. Don't say yeah, do it. Do it. Say what? I also can say what, but do it. I'm taking two, you know. The rest is yours. Do it. Don't plan, don't imagine about it, don't think about it, do it. Go and do it. Yes. Okay, without a vision, right, you will lose focus. You will lose focus. So these are just from that point of obedience, and then boom, wow, you know, all this go fast, they're all taking up. I got invited to speak at churches, you know, all kinds of church. I mean, it's just ongoing. A multiplication process is happening. And wow, I was even speaking yesterday, you know, so wow, very tired, but God has been gracious. God's been opening doors, and I'm out there to fulfill that vision, to allow the church to rise up, and more people are coming to know the Lord. And it's a movement that I'm looking at. City Missions Church, I was there last 2 weeks ago. I was just talking, I was preaching, and then a team arose that very evening, a team arose, and 19 November, we were doing outreach, and then this guy came the next day, 20th November, he came to church. Wow, amazing, right? And Aldersgate Methodist Church is out there, Church of Our Savior, Chinese side, okay, this is Hannah Chu also, right, nice. No nice posts and everything, right? So it's all out there. All Saints Church, Zion Full Gospel Church. The youths are already reaching out. The youths, these are all youths, right? Okay, all reaching out. And this is amazing. From Hope Church, somebody read my book, and then he got so inspired, he decided to go somewhere and bask. You know, when I was basking, basking is you play the guitar at the sides, you know. Yeah, and then he decided to do it and decided to share the gospel. And this was what he did, I think last week. Last week, okay? And this is Dawn as well, Hope Church, you know, came for Street E, and now the team is reaching out. It's amazing, you know, a movement has arisen. And City Missions Church is now on their own already. On time, on target. 3rd December, they already start reaching on their own. I'm not there, and yet the team is out there reaching out. Amazing. And bringing people to, you know, the very day itself, they brought someone to church. These are all those that they've spoken for. Wow, so church, a movement has arisen. Will you rise up to the call of taking the gospel out? This is important. To buy my t-shirt, it's the same thing, you know. Pray for the maid, you know, came to receive Christ. Wow. And more people, also this uncle came to receive Christ, you know. Amazing. I can spend hours telling you testimonies, okay? I can spend hours and hours. It's amazing, okay? A movement has arisen. Be a part of it. I'm just going to spend this last testimony because youths, okay? Since this is a youth service, right? I'm going to spend this last testimony. This is Jing Yi, okay? She's someone that I met when I was at Orchard Road. You know, she come to you, hey, can you buy me keychain? Yeah, you know, keychain knows, you know, to sell keychains, everything, right? So I was like, looking at her, okay, I pray for you, you know. So after a while, I keep seeing her every month, you know, and every single month I see her at the same place, same spot. So I'd be like, hey, hi, Jing Yi, here's a packet drink for you, you know. Right, a packet drink, and she was so thirsty, she would, you drink, can I pray for you? She would, yeah, pray. Every month, you know, when I see her, hi, Jing Yi, hi, packet drink for you, can I pray for you? Yeah, pray. Every month, it's the same thing, you know. You just go on and on and on, until the time there was just friendship, and then, there's a process of me giving to her as well. The Lord spoke to me, give to her, I gave like $50, and then get the youth to go treat them for dinner, because, you know, they're all studying, they're all working, you know. These are people that really spend their evenings working to survive, to get money, you know, to even pay for the school fees, you know. So then from there, I brought her out, right, brought her to church, right, and then from there, I did a John 4 Bible study. She rededicated her life to Christ, and then from then on, some other of her friends, right, this is Valerie, this is Joshua, this is Vaughn, you know, also brought to church. This one came and brought a friend as well, and from then on, she became a Christian, again, Jing Yi, right, and I remember I was working on Labor Day, I was working, reading a microscope, working, and then extremely devastated to work on a Labor Day, right? And then she texts me, you know, hi Wallace, I'm bringing two friends to church. Wow, we've got an instant evangelist. And this was 8th of December, which is 2 days ago, only. We met up with her, and now she's in Kingdom City. She's now equipping to be a leader, equipping to be a youth leader in church. Wow, amazing. Yeah, praise God. Praise God for it. Praise God for it, you know. So that's how purposeful my life is, in preparation, right? Cambodia, I was on a mission trip many years ago, and then I remember that day, I was praying for someone to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then God baptized me with the Holy Spirit, and then I started to speak in tongues, and I started to just, you know, what is this going on? And from then onwards, it's that day onwards, right, boldness and courage begin to arise. And I use that power that God has given me all the way. You know, I was out there reaching out, Street E, blading, everything. It's amazing. The empowerment that I receive is to serve Him. All because He has given us the Holy Spirit. You know, this is amazing. Right in Cambodia, I was a mission trip over there. People were just falling by the power of the Spirit that was over there. And then I myself received the baptism. You know, so amazing. And that was how it all started. And last one, personal. I spend a lot of time retreats. I spend time retreating with God. Doing nothing, just spend time with Him, right? This is East Coast, Lower Pierce, everything. Just do nothing and just spend time in just, you know, sitting by Him, reading the Bible, and can I get the worship team to come out, okay? Just the guitarist to come out as we close. So I was just doing this, sitting by, alright? Sitting by, and then there was someone that was fishing, you know, fishing, you know, through the rod, you know, fishing rod. And then he started to come nearer and nearer to me, you know. He just threw the rod. And then I thought, why is this person disturbing me? Because I'm trying to have my own quiet time, you know. Then this person coming nearer and nearer and nearer. Then he came beside me, he came to my left, he came to my right, he fished, you know. Then I was like, what's going on, you know. Then he go further and further, and then after a while, he disappeared. He just disappeared, you know. And then God spoke to me. He said, Wallace, keep fishing. Wow. I was like stunned, you know. Wow, like that also can, you know. They also can keep fishing for men, you know. Wow. And that was a total mind blower because I took time. And every time I spend time with him, you know, God speaks to me in very unique ways. Very unique ways. And it's amazing, you know, when you spend time in a personal way. Right. So, this is a reminder. Sign up for the Street E. And, in summary, all right, as a response time, I'm going to ask you 4 questions. Okay. Are you willing to step out from your comfort zone and be public? And be public. Salt and light. And the next question, you know, my prayer is that Christians will step up from their comfort zone into the public. Second, do you know the purpose that God has called you? Are you willing to be fully obedient to it? Second question, response question. Third response, do you want to be empowered to serve Him? To prepare for ministry, wherever God has placed you, to receive the empowerment of the Spirit to prepare you to serve. You know, someone actually told me, you know, if you want to go JB, right, you know, do you prefer to ride a bicycle or do you prefer to have a Ferrari? Right? Of course, a Ferrari, right, you know? So you can do things by human strength, but when you rely on the power of the Holy Spirit, boom, you accelerate up. There are some things that is beyond human. You need every power that's available to make a difference. Right? And the last one, personal. Right? Do you really know Jesus? Do you know your identity as a child of God? Do you desire that intimate relationship? Alright, so with every head bow, every eyes closed, alright, as the musician just plays in the background, I'm going to ask you these four questions, alright? If that is you, okay, if that is you and you desire, you said, Lord, I want to make a difference. I want to step out from my comfort zone. I want to stop hiding anymore. If that is you, right? You want to be public. You want to say, yes, Lord, I'm really taking my faith out. If that is you, I would like you to step out from your seat and you come forward to be prayed for. All right? If that is you, I would like you to step out from your seat and come forward to be prayed for. Yes. Is there anyone? Every head bow, every eyes closed, you know. Don't look to the left, don't look to the right. It's only between you and God. Yes, if that is you, and you desire to step out from your comfort zone to make a difference. Yes. Second question, okay. Do you want to know your purpose? You say, God, I really desire to know my purpose. I want to know it. I really want to know it. And once I know, I want to be obedient to it. Yes, if that is you, second question, you come forward and respond. Respond. Purposeful life. You want my life to be purposeful. You don't want that fake Christianity anymore. You want to be real. You want to be authentic. You want to know your purpose. Third one. Yes. Come forward. Yes. Come forward. Third one. If you desire to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, you want that power. Not power for showing off, but you want that power to serve the Lord. You want that power to serve Him. The greater capacity. Yeah, if that is you, yes. I invite you to step forward. Yes. Still waiting. I'm not giving people a chance to miss out on this response time. Okay, last one, personal. This is the most important question. Okay, you can go through this whole Christianity and you don't even know Jesus, right? If that is you and you want to get real, I want to know Him. I want to really know Him. If that is you in any of the 4 areas. If that is you, I would like you to come forward right now. Yes, the altar is now open for you to respond in your own time. You can pray and seek after Him. Is there anyone else? Yeah, I'm not missing out anyone. There's no comparison. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Don't look to your neighbor. It's only between you and Him. If that is you and you say, yes, Lord, I am desiring to make a difference. I'm desiring to know my purpose. I want to be public in my faith. I want to know how to be preparing myself for ministry. Right? If that is you, that God is tugging in your heart, if that is you, I will invite you to come forward to be prayed for. Is there anyone else? Yes. Is there anyone else? Yes, come forward. Yes. You're still waiting. Anyone else? Don't come forward because your friend is forward. Come forward because you really want to respond. God doesn't look at the externals. He looks into your heart. He searches your heart. He knows every single thing you're going through. Is there anyone else? Yes, there's more people coming. There's more. Right? As the worship leader comes and lead us with a song, a simple song. Yes, you continue to come forward. And youth leaders, if you are there, I invite you to come forward to pray for your youths. Right? I'll be coming down to pray as well. Yes. Anyone else, go ahead and respond. I'm going to come down and pray.
You can come forward, and for the leaders, please come forward to pray. And for the rest of us, can we just stand as a response to God?
The altar is still open, and if you feel God tugging your hearts, just come forward. But even if you don't feel God tugging your hearts, but you think it's important, you can still come. Yeah. Let's make your way and just respond to Him.
Here I am.
John 12 verse 24 says that unless a kernel of seed falls to the ground and dies, it remains as a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Some of you may be going through a time of letting go. Some of you may be going through this season where you have to surrender. Some of you have to go through this time where you just say there are things that you have to let go. There are things that you have to surrender, because unless you surrender, he can't take over. So that's what I felt when I was praying for some of you guys. And I urge you all that as you come forward and as you seek the Lord, if there are areas in your life that is not right, if there are areas in your life that you need to surrender, if there are areas in your life that you need sanctification, you need to surrender it all to the Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah. For you all, okay? Father, I ask right now in Jesus' name, Lord, I ask the Holy Spirit, won't you come and move in this place? Won't you do the work of sanctification? Won't you do the work that is needed in the hearts of the youth right now? For all those that has came forward in response to the purpose, in response to preparing themselves, and in response to seeking after the personal God, and in responding and say, yes, Lord, I desire to be public in my life. Lord, I ask right now that you search the hearts of these youth. They made the declaration. They desire to put it first, and you seal it, Lord. You seal it by the power of the Holy Spirit, and whatever that they prayed for, you know it from the single depths. You know every single thing, for you are the God that searches the hearts of people. You are the God that has brought them out of Egypt. You are the God that has brought them thus far. And I ask right now, in Jesus' name, won't you take this time, O God, for every single youth that have responded, and even those that are sitting behind, won't you do this work of sanctification right now in Jesus' name. Lord, may the faith of the youth arise. May they arise, not just by playing a mere Christianity. May they arise to be disciples after your heart. May they arise to really be missional. May they arise to fulfill the Great Commission. May they arise to be the youth that is after your heart, that will never say no to the world, that they always say yes to you, Lord. They will say no to the things of the world, and they will say yes to you, and they will be sanctified, they will be transformed into your image day by day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Yes. I have another prayer request that I ask all the youth leaders to come and gather at the front. If you are a youth leader in any ministry over here, and you are shepherding a cell, or if you are shepherding a group of youths, if you are a youth leader, may I usher you up to the front? I want to share with you what God has laid in my heart before even coming to preach. If you are a youth leader in any sense, and you are leading a team, or serving in any way in this ministry, right, can you ask to come forward to the front over here? Yes. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else? Right, if you're a youth leader, come, you're a youth leader. Yeah. Yes. Yes, anyone else? Youth leaders? Yes. Hallelujah. I think God is doing some amazing work. He's doing some amazing work. Yeah. Okay, I want to share with you two words. Very simple, two words. Okay, the first word is foundation. Okay, this was what was spoken to me even before coming over here. I was showering and then suddenly this word came. Okay, foundation. And the second word is cornerstone. Okay, the first word is foundation and the second word is cornerstone. 1 Peter 2:6, it says that, for in scripture, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone. The one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. So, youth leaders, this is important because the moment you step out, when you go to transit to the working world, or even some of you in uni, alright, you're going through this season and your faith will always be tested. And if you don't put Christ as the cornerstone, if you don't put Christ as the foundation, you will shake. Okay, the things of the world is going to shake you up. In fact, it's already happening. It's already happening. If your foundation is not strong in Christ, like Matthew 7, right? If you build your sand, if you build a house on a sinking sand, it will fail. It will fail. But if you choose to build your house on solid rock, it will last. And the shaking will come when you come to transit to the working world and when you are transiting even from higher studies, right? The things of the world is going to come and pollute you. But if you choose to lay your foundation, right? If Christ is the cornerstone, cornerstone means something at the corner, and then the whole architect of the building is formed because of that cornerstone. It's amazing, it's important. If you base on something that's not from the cornerstone, it will fall. It will fall. But if you place your foundation on Christ, then the verse for you, Jeremiah 17:7, this will be for you. Okay, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like trees planted by the waters that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worry in the year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Never fails to bear fruit. An amazing promise, right? He says that if you build your foundation on Christ, and it's like trees that is planted, your roots are going down. Even when the top, all the chaos is happening, all the immorality is sinking in, right? Your roots are deep, you're not affected, and you can continue to stand strong. Because if you are not strong, how can you lead the youths? How can you be a cell leader? How can you be a shepherd? How? Right? Cannot. Yes. So that is the word for you, the cornerstone and foundation. If you don't get it right, it's not going to work, right? Alright, so I invite the rest of the church, if you are there, we're going to start praying for the youth leaders, alright? Stretch out your hands forward. And come, youth leaders, come forward. Come to the front here. We're going to pray for you. Yeah, we're going to be praying for you, alright? Youth leaders, and the rest of you, stretch your hands forward, alright? And we're going to pray for the youth leaders. Alright? Shall we pray? Alright, let's pray, okay? Oh, hallelujah. Father, the youths are always in your heart, O God. They are going to be the next generation that will arise. They will be the next generation that will take over the church. Lord, I ask right now for every youth leader, every youth leader, Lord, I pray the Ephesians 3 prayer that you will strengthen their inner man. You will strengthen their inner man that it is not shaken by things of the world, but it is only rooted in the things of Christ. And when the trials come, when the temptations come, when the difficulties come, Lord, I ask, take root in their faith. Let the roots grow deep down so that no matter what happens on the surface, they shall not be moved. They have the confidence to say that Christ is my rock. My faith will not be shaken. Christ is my shelter. I will always find refuge. Christ is indeed my cornerstone. I will not move unless he tells me to do so. Lord, I ask, Lord, may their foundation be strong in you. Lord, you see every single one of them, their people, their leaders, they may also be struggling, but yet they're desiring to serve you. I pray, Lord, see their hearts, Lord. Take everything of them, their gifts, their talents, and you will multiply them, O God. Multiply the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, surrender into your hands of faith. Lord, you can do a miracle, Lord. These youths that they are shepherding over the youths will never be the same again. They will be empowered by your light. They will have a boldness. They will have a courage. They will have this anointing that comes only by the Spirit of God. And this anointing is the one that will transform the youths. It is this anointing that is going to take the youth service to another level. This anointing is the one that is going to bring the younger generation up to take over. The next Joshua is arising. I pray right now, Lord, you speak to the leaders and you allow them to allow them, O Lord, to do the circumcision in their hearts. You allow the Spirit to do this heart circumcision unless they have clean hands and a pure heart, they cannot ascend up the hill of the Lord. I ask right now, oh God, if you need to do the heart circumcision, do it, oh God. Do it, oh God. Do in their hearts. Let them be changed. It may be painful, it may be undesirable, but your work is always the best work. The work that you started in Philippians 1:6, it will be brought to completion because you have a purpose in their life. Every single you is deeply loved by you, and you can take them and you can raise them up to be the leaders of the future. So Father, I pray, oh God, for every single youth. I pray for Pastor Tina as well, who is a youth pastor. Lord, give her double anointing. Give her the strength and courage to have the vision to lead this youth team. Because unless a vision comes from you, we will all perish. But if a vision that comes from you stays, we will all arise and do the work that you have called us to do. I pray and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, thanks, Ben.
Let's thank Wallace for sharing with us. Okay, yeah, just three short notes before we end service. First, if you want to get his book about evangelism, you can get it at the admin counter at $10. The second note is that there's a homecoming photo booth right outside. So you all can just grab your cell members or your friends to go and take a photo there. Yeah, and also next week, our speaker is Jeremy Lee, which is also Jason Wong's mentee. So just invite your friends to come together for service, and yeah, see you there next week.
Yes, and because we've been so blessed by Wallace, we actually have a small appreciation gift for him. So Seth is going to pass it to him, so shall we? Yeah, just really give him a huge round of applause. Thank you so much. Yeah. Okay, I'll pray and close the service now. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for this time that we can come here together to hear your word. And I pray that, Lord, every single person who has experienced your love, experienced your touch, experienced something of you, Lord, that we will take it away from this and it will change our lives, Lord. That this is not just another random Saturday night that we can come and we hear a message. But, Lord, may this be a life-transforming moment. May what we receive from here follow through even as we depart here, even as we start the next day on Sunday, even as we start our schools, our workplaces, our holidays on Monday, that Lord, what we take from here will be translated to action, will be translated to truth every single step of the way, Father. So yes, I ask that Lord, you bless us, and even as you send us out from here, that Lord, your blessing and your presence be among us, and we just can't thank you enough. Be honest, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The service is over. Yes. And it's quite late, so we may appreciate if y'all depart from the auditorium early so that the cleaners can come and pack up, because they cannot leave unless you leave. Okay, so don't hang around too much. Go forth and have your dinner or go home. Thank you.